It's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. Glad you're with us. Time now for another installment of the Accountability Index, our monthly conversation with reporters from the Baltimore Brew about fiscal and policy accountability in state and local government. Today, we take another look at Baltimore City's vacant housing. In March, in a particularly windy week and a half, eight vacants collapsed in West Baltimore. One of them killed a man, Thomas Lemon, as he sat in his car. Last January, Governor Larry Hogan joined Mayor Stephanie Rawlings-Blake in pledging $94 million over the next 4 years to demolish 4,000 vacant properties citywide, plus another $600 million in subsidies to encourage redevelopment. Promises from Annapolis aside, does the city have a plan for dealing with the decades-old problem of vacants? My guest is Brew reporter Mark Reuter, who first wrote about vacants for the Baltimore Sun in 1975. 1975, Mark, now that's what I call an intractable problem.
Well, it does seem like a long time. Back in 1975, I wrote a three-part series for The Sun, really the first stories of The Sun in which The Sun looked in detail at this new phenomenon, and the new phenomenon was vacant houses. There were maybe 5,000 vacant houses in the city. They were scattered in Sandtown, Winchester, like today, in Park Heights. But it was really a new phenomenon.
So 5,000 houses back in 1975. The number of vacant houses now, to hear candidates running for mayor over the last few months, it's a little bit fungible. People don't necessarily know. Do we know now how many vacant houses and vacant properties we have? I know Joan Jacobson has written about this for the Able Foundation, a special report. But what do you think the number is now?
Well, I think the number is around 50,000. And I take that number because it's based on the U.S. Census number in 2010. And this is a very strong number. It's the number coming from the U.S. Postal Service, which defines a house of dwelling as vacant if no mail has been delivered for 90 days. And in 2010, using that, the U.S. Census came up with a slightly under 47,000 housing units that were identified as vacant in Baltimore City.
And we should say that the city government right now is putting out the number of about 16,000 houses.
Yes, but this number is a very strange number, and it's really important for the listeners to know what it means. The housing department issues vacant housing notices. That requires an inspector to go out and look at a house. And the city only defines a vacant house if they can find an unoccupied house that has no obvious signs of decay, which they interpret as broken windows, smashed open doors, etc. But if the house doesn't have those physical signs, even if there's piles of mail and debris piled up at the doorstep, they do not count it as vacant or unoccupied.
So they have this strict set of criteria, and they apply that, and they only come up with a number that's well below the number that you're suggesting.
Right, and I think which common sense suggests. The city of Baltimore has a little under 300,000 dwelling units. And if you look at a number of 50,000, that's citywide, one out of six. Of course, there's areas of the city that have no real vacant housing. It's not a problem. And then there's areas of the city where vast amounts of the row houses, 70, 80, even 90% are vacant. I think this sounds like a good number and should be a number that people start referencing to and not this sort of fake underreported number.
And the 16,000 was the number that most mayoral candidates bandied about.
Well, it's the official city number, and as part of what I think is the problem that my reporting over all of these years have shown is that the candidates, the government, the machinery of government only reacts to a problem like this and then tries to cover it up. This is part of this whole tendency to not look at this problem and to think that it goes away, and then to throw out promises of money when something happens like the poor man who was killed by a falling vacant house.
On 88.1, it's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. My guest, Mark Reuter from the Baltimore Brew. It's this month's installment of the Accountability Index. back in 1975, you know, or 7-8 years after the riots, there's, mm-hmm. of course, white flight that's been well documented. There's the decline of manufacturing, mm-hmm. having people move out of the city looking for work elsewhere. There's a number of reasons that, you know, people were leaving the city in the mid-70s. But still, at that juncture, 5,000 units doesn't sound like a horrible problem. I mean, that sounded like a containable, addressable dilemma. What happened? How did it go from 5,000 to perhaps 50,000 houses 40 years later?
Two factors. One factor is the broad economic factors that's afflicted Baltimore for the last 50 years. The most important thing to remember is that vacant houses are the outcome, not the cause, of the decades of economic decline and depopulation of Baltimore. You just alluded to it. The 1970s was the period where Baltimore percentage-wise lost the most population, white flight but also black flight, and was also the years where its manufacturing core left the city, where Western Electric, Continental Cans, major manufacturing units left the city. But then the problem snowballed because no city leader took an active role in this. It was sort of like global change or global warming. Everyone can see that it's happening, but there's not, you know, immediate crises. And so they kept kicking it down. So what happened was that places like Sandtown, Winchester, that were very depressed, their property values declined rather than rose over the last 40 or 50 years. And what I saw as two or three vacant, abandoned row houses per block back then is now 20 or 30 on a particular block that has not been haphazardly knocked down.
And many people have pointed to the fact that it seems to be the lack of planning, the lack of having a cogent, coherent plan that people have stuck to from administration to administration to address this problem. The city currently says that it's spending about $10 million a year knocking these houses down. But there are cities like Detroit that are facing the same kind of issue, but they're dealing with it in a very different way.
Detroit, because of the emergency, its bankruptcy and others, has had to take some really radical steps after, you know, fiddling around, delaying this problem. Right now, Detroit is undergoing a reformed demolition process in which they basically, on a wholesale basis, tear down row houses at the lowest unit cost they can get. And they've been dropping the unit cost to around $4,000 and $5,000 per dwelling unit, and these are freestanding houses. In Baltimore, we continue the old-fashioned so-called competitive bidding, very slow, cumbersome process, and the net result is that it costs roughly, with administrative costs, $14,000 or $15,000 to knock down a two-story abandoned row house in Baltimore. As a result, even with the money that Hogan is pledging, they're only going to be able to take down, by their own count, around 1,500 houses, which might be 3 or 4% of the total problem. So it's, you know, putting their thumb in the dike, but not looking at the overall problem.
So what's called for here is a much broader strategy, a grander plan. Right?
One is a real commitment to do this. Easy to say, hard to do. But one of the phenomenon I've seen over all of these years is a city government that makes these plans, changes the plans, doesn't follow the plans without any input from these local communities. The local communities, the people who live next door to a vacant house, don't know if that house is going to be torn down or what. There's a huge disconnect here. If Baltimore is a city of neighborhoods that everyone says, then the neighborhoods have to get involved. We lost the city block by block. That is very clear. We can only regain the city by working carefully, block by block, with cooperation and input from the community.
Of course, we'll have a new city council. We'll have a new mayor come November, or come December, when he or she is sworn in. It's most likely going to be Catherine Pugh. But this is a real important moment because, you know, the governor is committing a whole bunch of money. I mean, tens of millions, hundreds of millions of dollars. But without a plan, again, it's just going to become a feckless exercise.
Well, it's a very interesting. We have a Republican governor who, you know, claims to be a proponent of free enterprise and market, the market private enterprise. But he is proposing a plan that has been tried in many permutations over and over again and has not been sufficient. What I think, and what a lot of other people who've looked at the city carefully have said, is that it's an economic problem. We need to grow the population. And what's the easiest way, the simplest way to do it? Cut the property taxes so Baltimore is competitive with the counties. However, this requires the new mayor, the current mayor, the governor himself to start looking at cutting down municipal government and other government functions so that that property tax cut could be made. It's been really unfortunate that that core issue has not been talked about, because the whole thing with Baltimore is that you can't really deal with vacant houses that have no value. You tear them down, and that's very expensive, disruptive, hollows out a neighborhood. But to try to rehab them in a neighborhood that has such low property values is impossible and untenable.
Yeah. Right.
And after a few years, that house becomes Gresham's Law and goes back down to the level of the houses around it.
Mark Reuter is an investigative journalist and longtime Baltimore reporter who since 2010 has been covering the city for Baltimore Brew, an independent online news source. This is the sixth installment of our monthly series, The Accountability Index, which we're presenting in conjunction with the Baltimore Brew. Stay tuned for more conversations in this ongoing series. We've got more information and a link to the Brew on our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. Thanks, Mark.
Thank you.
Coming up after a break for the news, Baltimore writer Dee Watkins joins me to talk about his new book, The Cookup, a crack memoir. I'm Tom Hall. You're listening to Maryland Morning on 88.1 WIPR. Stay with us.